Hey, I just got back from lunch. Did you finish that report yet?
Not exactly. Still working on it. I'm not finished just yet. I got a little sidetracked, but I will get them to you first thing this afternoon.
It is first thing this afternoon.
Well, yeah, I understand that, but I mean, I am working
But
on it. I'll have
what do you mean that the report isn't finished yet?
I'm still in the process of working on it. I've just been a little distracted.
Distracted. Our meeting starts in an hour.
I can have it.
No. What were you doing? Were you listening to another hunting podcast again? I swear, I give the staff in this office the freedom to do whatever they want to do as long as they meet a deadline. That is the first bullet underneath your job description. Pays attention to detail and deadline. And deadline. Dude, are you even listening to me right now?
Welcome to episode 175 of the Whitetail Distraction Podcast. My name's Austin, and joining me in the garage, the pod port, the...
The garage.
The garage. Charles Headland, how you doing, buddy?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm good, buddy. I'm good.
Guess what?
Chicken butt.
It's the turkey distraction now, boy.
Ask me again.
Guess what?
Turkey butt.
Attaboy. That's what I like to hear.
Oh, my goodness.
It's dang near turkey season.
Almost in Pennsylvania. My goodness.
Yeah, for us, we already kicked it off, haven't we?
We have.
And it's been exciting.
Oh, man. You've been in two states so far.
Yeah,
oh,
two
my
states.
Good googly
moogly.
Both
with the same name in them.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, weird, huh?
Nebraska
and
North
West Nebraska. You could have said like South and North Dakota,
yeah,
you know?
No.
That would have worked out, I guess. But it's not true.
No, it's not
where I've been at all. It's been Virginia and West Virginia. But we're going to talk about West Virginia.
West Virginia.
Some shit went down in Virginia. We'll get with Joe and cover that hunt for
good
sure.
Old Joe Bags.
Yeah, our favorite local turkey hunter.
I love
Joe
that
Marcello.
Guy so much.
Marcello. We'll call him.
Marcello.
Marcello. Yeah.
Oh.
But that's kind of the, I don't know what you're looking for over there, but that's kind of the theme of this episode is going to be recap of our West Virginia hunt. We're going to bring in some guys that were on the hunt with us, our Patreon members.
Yes.
And we're going to do like short segment recaps from their point of view.
Yeah, I like it.
Sounds like a fun way to do this.
It does. When you had the idea, I was like, absolutely.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
We brought all the podcast equipment there. And like every time we bring podcast equipment out, we don't record a podcast.
It's the curse of me packing all this stuff up.
Man, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I know.
What it is. It's not your fault.
Well, let's get through our partners real quick. And then we're going to bring on the first person. Guest host.
Just guest.
Okay.
It's like a 4 or 5 guest episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. I want to give a real quick shout out quick to my nephew, Quentin.
All right.
What's up, buddy? How you doing, man? I'm still talking about turkeys. I know you're not like into the content, but here we are, buddy.
Oh, wow. Is he calling us out for the turkey
content?
He
texted Brooke earlier and said, hey, tell Uncle Austin to get some new content. It sounds like a couple old dudes talking about turkeys.
Wow. Good for him. Good for him.
I know.
How old is this kid? Is he old enough I can beat him up legally?
No.
Okay, then. You know what, Quentin? Just know I'm coming for you. I'm in your nightmares, buddy. Just kidding, man. We will, but guess what? How can you talk about anything else? Because turkey season is literally less than 2 weeks away in Pennsylvania.
I think we just need to take him turkey hunting.
That would be fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Show him where this excitement is brewing from.
Exactly.
You know where else my excitement brews from?
Where?
Screegear.com.
Oh, my good googly moogly.
Oh, I get excited on there. I see you have it up right there, the spring turkey giveaway.
Look at that, man.
What is that?
One winner is going to win a $1,000 Scree gift card.
Damn. For every $10 spend.
Or you can just hop right on there
you
and you
get
can
one
just
entry.
Apply.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you don't have to actually spend any money.
You don't.
You just get extra entries for every $10.
Correct.
Now's the time to go in your shopping spree, guys.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. And I should point out, we're both wearing the same thing right now.
We are.
Look at that.
Yep.
Grid light.
Your grid light. I got the green on. You got the Solace.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey.
It's comfy.
I love this jacket.
This is like I got two of these. This is my like bebopping around the house freaking hoodie, man.
You know what? I've been wearing this actually a lot turkey hunting just over top of like whatever the temperatures are outside. If it's cool enough that I can wear a jacket, this is my jacket of choice for turkey.
Do you see this little snag right here?
Yeah.
I had this snag because I had my ptarmigan on, and I threw this bad boy over it to save it from the briars, and I got a little snaggy mitt snaggy there.
That's
going.
All right.
Yeah.
You just snip her off.
I'm going to. It's just, it, I'm that's leaving
even,
it for right
that's
now.
That's not even fair to call that really a snag. It's just like a single thread.
Listen, I went through some hellacious briars in this thing.
Yeah.
And it is solid.
Dude, it's brutal down there. It brutal. Is. But who else we got? We got VIP archery.
VIP archery. We're just talking about the gobbler guillotine again, just because I want to use that thing so stinking bad, man.
Yeah. I think one of our guests that are going to be on today was talking about possibly putting it to use on a turkey this year on footage. So
I think that would be sweet.
How about that?
Yes.
I might break mine out. I kind of told Mikey during West Virginia hunt, I was like, well, maybe I'll bring my bow and my gun.
I need to have the right bird to do it.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not going to run a gun with it.
No, not with a bow. I'm not that.
No, but if I put one to bed and I think I can get in close enough and get into a good spot, I think I might bring it.
Yeah, well, there you go. $15, it can be all yours, and you guys can bring it in the woods with you as well.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Back 40 seed kill. I want to talk about this one a little bit just because of how gnarly it is and the fact that I want to use it this year. The B40 Jungle Blend.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing is just absolutely gnarly, man. If you want to, like, give yourself a little bit of cover for your plot, I mean, right here, it's like, it's the bee's knees. Sunflowers, all kinds of stuff growing in. Brassicas.
From what they told me, too, and man, that thing gets, like, super wild.
Oh, yeah, dude. Look at that next to a tractor, man.
Out of control wild, like, super high. Yeah, that's as tall as, what, a 12-foot tractor?
That's a humongous tractor.
And it's reaching the tip tops of it, so.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, dude, that's cool. It does say, what's that? Oh, no, never mind. I thought that said 6 to 7 foot, but they were talking about the pH level.
Yes, sir.
6 to 7 pH. Which makes total sense. Planting dates May to June, by the way.
We're
so,
coming up on it right quick.
Yeah, soil temps of at least 60 degrees. So you guys can get your jungle blend, put that in the ground, whether it's for, well, first off, there's a couple different uses for this as well, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you can use it as like a fenced area, basically, for privacy.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can just use it for overall total, like every animal benefits from this. Wild birds, deer.
You can
everything.
Hunt doves off of this, man. Mm-hmm. Look at all the sunflowers and
absolutely.
Stuff in there.
Absolutely.
Absolutely awesome, man.
Cool. What else you got?
Moving on to A&F custom calls, man. Ooh. I wanted to focus on this one a little bit because Mikey Fennell's going to be on, and he is such a big fan of the combo cut.
Is he?
He is a humongous fan. You know what? That boy sounds good with that call.
Yeah?
Yeah, real good.
I haven't had the opportunity to hunt with him yet, so I'm glad you did.
Solid.
Good.
Solid.
Good. I'm a huge fan of the Batwing or the Ghost Cut myself.
I ran the Ghost Cut all weekend.
Yeah?
Great.
Great call.
Great call.
One of my favorites. That's my go-to.
That is a good go-to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we didn't throw out the coupon codes or anything like that, but they're in the show notes and the descriptions and stuff like that. So you guys can head over there or you can go to our link tree.
Ooh.
And you can become a Patreon, come on our next hunt, and you can see all the coupon codes and stuff like that on there too.
Nice.
Nice. And that is it for business.
Excellent.
Look who we got sitting here on the line.
We got our first guest.
We got our first guest, Mr. Adam Rahar.
Bring him on. Press that button. Austino.
Oh, hello, friend.
How about?
What's up, guy?
Is this the pizza shop? I'll take you to the candy shop. Oh, it's the turkey distraction. No, this is the turkey distraction.
Oh.
What's up, buddy?
Oh, not a lot. Just getting ready for bed so I can get up and listen for more gobbles in the morning.
Oh, little Pennsylvania listening, are you?
Oh, yes.
Well, that's easy to do after the results you had on this West Virginia hunt, don't you think?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, Adam's first because he is the one that struck first on our Patreon hunt. So, Adam Rahar, you are an absolute turkey devastation to the state of West Virginia, my friend.
Just an absolute stud.
Studly. Tell us how you did it. Tell us all your secrets.
You guys are too much.
Well, let's hear it, man. Don't hold out on us. We want to hear some stories. What happened? You went down early before everybody else and got a little head start on the old WDP, TDP Patreon hunt.
Yeah, so would have been Tuesday night. I left early Wednesday morning, decided to go down a day early, get a little scouting in and, you know, never like maybe find a bird or two. I never expected to have the results that I did, but I got down there, about an hour before daylight. So I sat in the truck, did a little e-scouting and heard the first gobble at little after six, started chasing it, and then this other bird gobbled closer, so I kind of backtracked and went in on him. I just couldn't get close enough because it was getting a little daylight. He ended up flying down with two hens about 60 yards, worked around, and they went down over the hill. So scratched that one off the books, put it in the back pocket for later. And I just started driving around, taking a little bit of a census on what was there, and decided to go under this little chunk that I've been up with you guys before on. And didn't really see much until about 10:30, I think I texted you.
Yeah, I think it was.
I ended up seeing across this valley. There was, I don't even know exactly how many. I wasn't counting. There was multiple. I was too excited. I saw a strutter, and they were just working down the other side of the valley. And I was looking on the maps, and the way they were going to come out is they had like two options to come out of this. It was either head down a trail and get in on one side of the field, or head down the other trail and come out on the closer side. So I've never had turkeys over there, so I didn't know what they were doing. I took a guess, and it was kind of more or less where I had cover at. So I did made a big circle and got in front of them, found basically two trees in the middle of nowhere to sit on along this little hedgerow. And I waited 15, 20 minutes. I put my gun up because I figured they were getting close. Didn't move, didn't do anything. And it's 20, 25 minutes now, and I'm sitting here thinking, well, they made it, may have took the other path. I'm not sure at this point. So that's what I got on Spartan again. I'm looking at the maps like they have to come this way or the other way unless they turned around and went. So I was just kind of thinking for another person to have an insight on this. So I actually took a screenshot of the maps and was drawing an arrow, and I just hit send to Chuck. And I heard a spit, and I was like, they're not in front of me. It was kind of bad, and it was directly to my right. So I just kind of turned my head, and I saw them coming down the hedgerow that I was on, just the other side of it. Well, I had one shooting lane, so they really couldn't see that well, or so I thought. So I hurried up and switched the gun to my left hand, and as they started coming through that little opening I had, I got a shot at one left-handed at right about 6-7 yards is what I stepped it off at, and he went flopping around, and I ended up putting a second round in him just to be sure. I think he was dead on the first one, but that was the first hunt. Took about a 45 minute walk out to get back to the truck, so that was day one.
You were having a little bit of trouble with your turkey toad too, weren't you?
I couldn't remember how it worked because I haven't used one in 2 years because Chuck was a little behind on making them.
Oh yeah.
Oh, take it easy, guy.
If you could go back through Marco Polo and you could count the times I've mentioned or hinted towards a turkey tote, stating I would pay for one even if I got it here faster, those would numbers add up quick.
All right. Yeah, I don't know why you got to call me out on my own podcast here. Like Austin's sitting here, you know, he's being nice about it.
But seriously, I didn't put this in a turkey tote. Get a hold of Chuck. I think he has a stock right now, so you might actually get one before turkey season. They are awesome.
Thank you. I can whip them up a lot quicker nowadays.
So after a little FaceTime video with Chuck on how to use a turkey tote in the woods, I was on my way to the truck. But that was day one. I went back, got where we were staying situated, and took a little nap. And then I just went out and scouted for birds.
Yeah, that's like your go-to move when you're down there. I always feel like when you're down there and we're not, we're always getting videos of turkey. Like you're scouting and watching them and putting them to bed. You do a really good job of like late evening scouting when you're down there.
Oh, I mean, there's not much else to do. I mean, that's why we came down to hunt. I'm going to try and spend as much time as I can out there. I'm not just going to kind of sit around and relax. I came down to hunt. We're going to hunt.
Yeah, for sure.
But we'll get into that night. So I drove around a little bit, and I ultimately wanted to stay about where I was in that first morning. So I sat on the field that I knew there's usually turkeys in, and about 15, 20 minutes, I saw two hens coming over the hill, and they were there for about half hour, 45 minutes themselves, and I just had the window down. I heard this real far gobble. I was like, okay, well, that's kind of near the back of the property. And it wasn't like no more than a minute as I'm watching through the binoculars, and he pops his head over the hill at about 300 yards and gobbles again. And it sounded a lot closer, and I was like, well, that has to be almost the same bird, which in theory it was. It was just the way the hill was playing the sounds on me. So I watched them for about, I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes work towards me. And I knew about where they were going to go roost.
Mm-hmm.
And right before half hour, 45 minutes before dark, we had one awful 80 mile per hour winds, hail, a lot of rain. I couldn't even see the truck. So, and these turkeys were still in the field then. So it was just kind of a, well, I hope they know where they're going or they're going to be close in the morning and not get blown away. So I headed back to where we were staying because there's no chance I'm seeing a turkey in a field now when I can barely see the edge of the road.
Yeah, it was one hell of a storm, hellacious storm, if you will.
There were trees falling everywhere.
It was bad, yeah. So next morning,
I head back.
You had a pretty good idea at least where they were going to be if they didn't go up to roost and then get blown into the next county.
Right. So yeah, the next morning I got in early knowing that I was banking on that they were going to be in the same tree as they were the day before. Because I know prior history, they like to be right about the same tree, if not the same tree, just the way it is up in PA. So I got into about what I thought the same tree, about 60-ish yards from it, and started getting daylight. And I think I texted you and I said, I'm pretty sure there's a bird out in front of me. So a couple minutes later goes by and he gobbled. This bird gobbled, it wouldn't surprise me, 200 to 300 times on the limb. And it was actually frightening because I know there's other people around and I just wanted them to shut up. That's a bad thing to say, but I didn't want them to gobble.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept looking around as easily as I could without trying to get picked off because I'm only 60-ish yards from this bird, 60 to 70, I figured. I couldn't see the hens, so I started figuring he's got to be gobbling because he lost his hens in the storm last night, and he's trying to bring them back or figure out where they are. Still haven't heard them, still haven't seen them. And it's almost 7. I have my phone sitting on my lap. One of my notifications went off, so I can see it's almost 7. And I hear these leaves next to me. I can just hear them off to my right. I was like, oh, great, there's a hen. So I just kind of look in the corner of my eye, and I see this raccoon coming down the trail. And I was like, oh, no, this thing's like on a beeline to me. I was like, if this ruins this hunt, because this bird should have flown down by now. It is plenty daylight. If this thing ruins this hunt, I'm going to be so mad. So I kind of made a noise with my mouth so the raccoon could tell I was something. And he stopped and started looking. And I could see the turkey looking at the raccoon, or at least in its direction. I was like, well, that makes sense. He knows there's something here. So the raccoon goes about 3 yards in front of me and passes, watching me the whole time. And this turkey continues to gobble and gobble and gobble. So he's looking around. I saw him looking down the other side of the valley. And I just kind of let out with my mouth call, which I'm not very good at, but ANF helps that a little bit. Makes me sound a little bit better.
Attaboy.
Just quietest little, like, two little calls that I can within a minute. I saw him perk out right as I called, and within a minute, he jumped down off the limb and came straight to me and hit the ground about 20 yards, and I had to wait and wait for him to take one step to clear a tree, and that seemed like forever, but it was probably only a couple seconds. But he didn't move then. I stoned him right about 20 yards and ran up to him and pulled you guys.
And that was the end of it.
That was the end of it. It was an easy hunt.
Yeah. Right off the limb, right off the roost. Roosted is roasted, if you will. I hate that saying, by the way. I freaking hate it. Like, I really do. I just don't like the cliche of it. We were looking at a text. We have Porkchop in the queue waiting to come on, listening right now, and he wanted to thank Adam for the tush push. So
I told him I would push him up any West Virginia or PA hill.
That's right. So, he deserves
any day,
it.
Any day.
That's awesome.
I don't know if we can bring them both on together now, can we?
I can try.
We can try.
Let's try. Let's see what we can do here.
I hope it doesn't drop Adam's
call. I hope it doesn't either.
Oh, nope. Porkchop.
Damn, I heard a beep.
Hey! What's up, dude?
What's up?
We got you both on right now.
I don't know. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
Good deal.
We were...
What's up, Adam? Hi, Porkchop.
We were just letting Adam know about the tush push, and
that's awesome. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah. So I figured we would blend this in this way because after Adam had tagged out on his two birds in West Virginia and two straight days before anybody even showed up, I was on my way down to West Virginia when this all went down. He decided to join myself in a mission to get Porkchop his first turkey, and we spent a lot of time together over the next few days after picking up Porkchop at the airport, which Adam actually helped me do. So thank you, Adam, for that as well. But I figured that's why I would bring you all on at one time. So where do we start? Let's start with Adam. First reaction of Porkchop, first meeting him at the airport. Maybe my favorite time of the whole trip.
Well, we're not even over into the pull-off lane for him to get in the truck, and he's running at us with these, I can't even tell what kind of shorts, because he gave us a little bit of a warning of his outfit, but he didn't tell us what. But I just see these shorts coming and some camo towards us, and I don't know what to think at this moment. We're not even over into the other lane. He's jumping in the truck, throwing stuff in the bed. So I really didn't even get to Porkchop until a couple miles down the road. He's sitting beside me. Could be a serial killer. I mean, it's funny how you can just go from picking people up when at the airport and never meeting them before to going hunting with them a couple hours later. I mean, you can't really do that with any other sport or anything like that other than like hunting and maybe fishing.
Yeah. Well, Porkchop, what was your first impression?
My first impression was, where the hell are y'all going? Because y'all went about two car lengths ahead of me. And I was like, damn, they're going to leave me there. Must not have liked my shorts. Either that or I thought maybe Adam was scared. He's like, there's no way this serial killer's getting in my truck. But, you know what they say, what's the chances of two serial killers being in the same truck? Because he slaughtered the birds before I even got there.
That's true.
I think I was on the plane when he killed his second one.
Yeah, that was a funny.
You were.
Yeah, that was the funny thing. Like Adam was like, "Man, Porkchop's still on the plane. He doesn't even know this happened yet."
I told Chuck, "I wish we could have deleted the polos, which we could have, and just showed up at the airport with you." Mm. I think that would have been funnier.
It was a good time. It was awkward way to meet somebody, just throwing all my junk in the back of your truck and be like, let's go. But I think we got properly introduced at the first 7-11. Gas station and 7-Eleven, and I got my Pennsylvania bag of chips, and we were off to the race.
Yes, sir. So for anyone who doesn't know, Porkchop's an OG PA boy who decided to go down to Florida for some unknown reason and live his life down there in way too hot of weather, where he really just flourishes up here in this cold weather, just so everybody knows. That's Porkchop. And it was a nice reunion, I think, nonetheless, to bring you back into good old Pennsylvania and then quickly move you from the state into West Virginia as fast as we possibly could.
Yeah, y'all very quickly acclimated me, too. I've been in Florida for I don't know how many years now, pretty much below sea level, and all I hear from these boys down here is, oh, there ain't nothing like hunting in Florida. And I think my first hour after landing, I was trying to climb a hill, which was very taxing.
I got to be honest, Porkchop. I was going through the polos and stuff when you guys were down there the first day, and I was just thinking to myself, I was like, they are 100% trying to kill Porkchop.
Oh, yeah. I thought they were, too, because you know how everybody in the South, oh, there ain't nothing thicker than the South. And I believe that the first 2 days that I hunted with Chuck and Adam, minus the hills or mountains, I believe they're mountains, not hills, he took me to some of the thickest briar patches next to, I don't even know what it was called, multiflora rows and trees with spikes that are like 5 inches long. It's like, oh, yeah, we got to go through here, up the hill. Like, we're at a 90-degree incline crawling on hands and knees through briar patches. It was pretty fun, though. It was a good time.
So what you're saying is they took you to every gar hole that they knew.
Oh, yeah, definitely gar holes. It was turkeys and trees that just disappeared, and, yeah, total gar holes.
Listen, if nothing else, we were going to give you, I said it probably 4 or 5 times on the trip, the full West Virginia experience, and I feel very strongly now that the trip is over that you got that full experience.
I'm pretty sure I got the full experience.
Adam.
And I'm already planning to come back.
Yeah, buddy.
My man.
Adam, you can vouch for me here. This is the way we hunt West Virginia every year.
Oh, yeah. It's full throttle and there's nothing else.
Yep.
See? I give y'all props.
Listen, I don't know, it's fun, it's obviously.
It's limited time, and you're trying to cover as much ground as you possibly can.
Yeah, it's really tough. You know, I was talking on the phone today. It's like, if we had one evening hunt, that's all it would have taken. We would have just absolutely waylaid those turkeys.
Mm-hmm. That's all. Yeah, for sure, because the 3 mornings we actually, like the first day was just trial, practice run, maybe we'll get lucky or not. I know I was with Adam when we roosted them, and just talking to both of y'all, how we had to access, it was like, okay, let's do it. And we got down on that bottom, worked through it all, and there he was up on the tree, walking back and forth, strutting, gobbling on the limb, and we were just a little off the game. He hit the ground, or hit the ridge on the other side of that, whatever it's called, multiflora rose. Big patch. Big patch of multiflora rose. And we're trying to maneuver and getting stuck on every little stick. And the first vine I grab, I get a 2-inch spur in my thumb and set up on him, and he gobbles and pitches down, and he waddled out of our life.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's where the tush push came into play. I think I tried to get up that other side of the creek like 3 or 4 times, and I heard y'all back there giggling, and then finally it felt like Jesus himself reached down and pushed me up the mountain, and it was just Adam giving me a tush. I think if he wasn't there, I'd still be in that creek bottom crying or laughing, one of the two.
Pork chopping and cricks didn't go together very well this trip.
No, I think I fell in 3 altogether. I made it across 1.
Mm-hmm. That morning, though, was like I think that morning was the highlight of your whole trip, though. If I had to ask you one moment that would highlight like your top point after we left there, we went over to the spot where Cody had been hunting, and then something extremely special for you happened.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome. That was a good time. Cody's like, oh, there's Jake's everywhere gobbling, and I think he was just playing a joke on me too. He wanted me to walk up the 4th worst hill in the whole trip, but I got to the top of that, and then we went down another one through more briars and multiflora rose, and crossed the first creek I fell in, or no, that's the second creek.
Mm-hmm.
But when we came up to the other side, I noticed there was some what are they, spruce trees maybe, or pine, big pine, like a patch of pine tree, maybe a 1/4 acre of just pines on the side of this ridge. It kind of brought back memories of Eastern PA. And up until that point, I was checking out the deer tracks and the rubs because they're monstrous. And Chuck told me, you know, they're not deer rubs, they're bobcat scratching poles. I was basically gonna make a video and send it to the southern guys about a bobcat scratching pole that was on like a 5-inch diameter pine tree. As I'm walking up to this pine tree, it was like a magical light lifted from the floor, and it was a shed. I was like, holy crap, there's a shed. And I flipped my wig that I actually found the shed. And I believe was the first Whitetail Distraction podcast shed found at that particular Central West Virginia WMA.
First and only, bud. You're the one and the only.
That's right.
Yep. Most of us are typically turkey hunting during that, you know, that time frame. Yeah. Poor Chubb was out there scouting for deer. That's where the bobcat scratching post joke came from, because I was trying to cover up a giant old rub. I was like, no, that's not a rub. Don't even look at it, Pork Chop. I was trying to cover it up. I was like, just don't look at it.
Bobcat scratching post. Get out of here.
He got so excited. He got so excited. He's jumping up and down. And he starts screaming. It was so quiet down in this bottom. I just found a shed. Me and Adam are like, shut up.
I might have to insert the Marco Polo here.
Dude, oh my gosh. If you, yeah, that would be great. Like, that was fantastic.
Definitely scolded me.
Well, I had hot intel by number 4 guest to come join the show later tonight that there were goblin turkeys all over that ridge, which we never did end up finding, probably because of the shed celebration, but who knows. I won't blame you.
We did set up on a dog.
Yeah, we did. What?
Set up on a yelping dog for about an hour.
Listen, I'm not crazy, right? That dog sounded like somebody really bad at yelping on a mouth call.
It sounded like a lonely hen.
Yeah. See, it did. And it went on and on and on. And at one point, we thought it was getting closer. That's the weird part.
Aren't you supposed to set up on gobblers, not hens?
No, we were already set up.
Okay.
Like, we were going to just watch that field for, because it rained. And we were on a field edge and we were thinking, well, if there were birds roosted here over top of this field and they're not here now, maybe they'll come back to the field. Let's sit down for about an hour. And we're sitting there thinking there's some guy back there calling and he's going to walk in on us. That's what we thought was actually happening.
Give me your best impression of this dog.
Anyone else want to do it? It's hard.
That's what it sounded like.
No, it was like a yelping. It's hard to explain. It literally sounded like someone like really bad on a mouth call trying to yelp. And it was literally doing it in like a yelp, 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 like that. Like, oh, it was, man. It even sounded like, you know, the correct cadence of a turkey. That's the weird part.
Unreal, man.
This dog was raised by turkeys in the wild or something. Craziest thing. Yeah, well, that was day one anyhow, and then we figured day two, man, we had it. Like, we had roosted those birds again, same spot.
They were hard,
and there were two of them. The first day we only heard the one. Second day we had two goblin, and you can talk about that pork chop, because that was probably our best worst day ever.
Yeah, we got up super early again, and we walked down the same ridge. Like, stealth level 10, got down there, slipped in, I got pictures of the bird on the roost, but I think I was maybe 10 yards from the base of his tree. Mm-hmm. And they were quiet up until about 5:45, and then some distant gobblers started going off. And the first turkey that I can see, he just let one out and startled me, but then startled me even worse because the second one right behind me gobbled, and it was pretty crazy. I had got my shotgun up and I was ready to bust one, and about the time they were getting frisky and they let some gobbles out again, hammered, like bah bah, and then next thing I know I hear one bird down a little bit farther take off, and then the gobblers, they took off, and then a tree full of hens. It sounded like a whole flock of turkeys just barreling out of there. And I noticed like a slight bit of movement out in front of me. And at first I thought it was a deer because I swear I seen like the white patch on his chest. And then I hear Chuck behind me say, you know, what the fuck happened? And I hope I'm allowed to say that on the air.
You're good, bro. But,
sounds a lot like me.
I said, a deer. Oh, wait, no. Two hunters, they're coming at us. And they weren't coming to us, they were setting up their decoys. So they set their decoys up, put this like pop up blind up. There's no way they could not have heard the turkey like take off out of there. Does it sound like a whole box full of hefty bags getting blown in a turbine? And we're sitting there for a second to see what happens, and these dudes start crow calling, and it was like the worst crow call I ever heard, trying to locate the turkeys that just took off. Like, dude, they're in Ohio by now, or in next county at least. And so, you know, Chuck's like, let's back out of here so we don't get shot. So we backed out, crossed the other side of the creek. At this point, we're standing up talking, and the guy, I'm pretty sure he crow called again to locate. And then Chuck starts talking to him in turkey, and this guy gets all excited. And he's like, bop, 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 bop. And the guy's trying to call back, and it's like, holy crap. Then Adam was like, what, about 100 yards up on the ridge above us, and he calls, and the guy hits his call again, and then Chuck calls, and it's like, dude, we just need to get out of here. And yeah, thank God we didn't get shot. We said, we told the guy good luck, have a great day. And we didn't leave him any presents or anything.
No, we were good. I couldn't tell if he had a kid with him or not. And, dude, you want to talk about bad calling. Yeah. Holy moly. He was squeaking on something.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Listen, if that's you and you're listening right now, go watch some turkey videos and just try to learn more about how turkey hunting works. That's all I'm going to say. It's as nice as I can be about this moment. But it did lead to something else, though. we got out of there and jumped to the next spot real quick, and I put you up the worst hill of the entire trip, Old Turkey Hill.
Oh, that's rough.
Yeah, that's a bad one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the worst thing about that was, I forgot to mention about that morning was, yeah, pork chop, pulled a pork chop, and I left my hiking boots at the camp, and I showed up to the parking lot in my Hey Dudes. And I probably would have been more comfortable walking in the Hey Dudes, but Adam let me borrow his, I don't know, what they're like, 1,600-pound cinder block rubber boots, which was awesome. I'm glad I had them at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But walking up that one hill, oh, my good God. That was the worst hill. That was the number one pork chopper right there. Let me tell you what. That thing was like Superman probably would have sweated walking up that hill.
1,600-gram thin-slit lacrosse.
I think I had to stop like 20 times. Like we get to one point, so it's like I'm breathing. I'm like, he's like, all right, oh, yeah, I'm gonna break. He's like, okay, well, we're not even halfway yet. up there. I was like, what? We're not even halfway. He's like, yeah, this is like the driveway part, and that joker is like straight up and down.
That first half is the worst, though. It's like, it's pretty steep.
It's steep.
Yeah.
It gets a little more gradual after that. Was the view at the top worth it or not?
Oh, yeah. It was definitely worth it. That was by far the best I had out of the 4 days I was in West Virginia.
Yeah. Gorgeous.
That view was killer.
We went on the other side, and I was a little bit ahead of him. And like, there was just some shrubs between the two of us, and I heard the bird gobble.
Oh, yeah.
And I got all fired up. And I knew Sibeli was in there. And he had texted me that he had struck one. So Porkchop and I, like, our game plan was, let's just stay back. We'll try to call this bird to Sibeli. He's on it. It's his bird. We'll just try to help him out. But Sibeli was kind of texting me, like, hey, get Porkchop down in that creek bottom or on the other side. Because last year when we were in there, that bird went across the creek. And
they'll work down that mm-hmm. draw right there.
And they basically would, you know, worked around us last year like that. So we kind of just started playing the game and calling a little bit and trying to get that bird to come into Sibeli. And we've moved probably two or three times down that creek bottom, just kind of like trying to be a live hen moving around. Man, that bird was just hung up, but he was gobbling his face off.
Are you sure it wasn't Sibeli up there with just a shaker gobble?
It would have been pretty convincing. That joker was double gobbling.
Better for me.
Yeah, probably the end result maybe would have been a little better. But at one point, basically that turkey, and I know exactly where he's at. He's here. This one's for you, Porkchop. He was in his lecking zone at the top there. Yeah, yep. He was definitely lecking at the top and was not coming in. He was just doing circles up there. And I was like, man, this bird will not break. And I finally kind of got up and I was like, screw this. And there's enough hillside play in that creek bottom that I just kind of went up the ridge. Like I went right at the gobbler, but just far enough to where I didn't crest the hill where he could see me. And I did like a loop back around and right back to my spot. And I was probably 15 yards behind Porkchop. And Sibeli was up on that ridge off to my right hand side, basically between us and the bird. But at that point, I kind of went quiet, and then I started calling again. I got very aggressive with that turkey. Like, he would gobble, and I cut him off and start cutting real loud, and he would double gobble, triple. Mm-hmm. Well, when he started double gobbling and triple gobbling on his own without me calling, I knew he was fired up. Next thing you know, he gobbles, and he's, like, in the creek with us.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know at that point, like, for me, I'm guessing you too, like, that point, poor chap, it got real. Like, I was like, holy shit.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely real. I had my phone on me for like, I think I stopped it at 27 minutes when he was just gobbling. It sounded like he was in the same spot. 27 minutes, he did not move, mm-hmm. but he was gobbling hard. And so I had turned the recorder off. I'm like, this ain't happening. This turkey is hung up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you did your little loop-de-loo there, and it wasn't but 6 minutes from the time you did that to he was coming and he hit hard in the creek bottom or creek bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe like I had one sapling right in front of me. I didn't think it was a problem, but there was a like a deadfall, a log jam almost right in the middle of the creek. And I think if that log jam was not there, he probably would have walked down the creek right to me. But that log jam kind of diverted him up to the other side. And I didn't see him until it was too late. And first turkey I had in the range, and I tried to sneak the shotgun around the sapling, and I was off tilt, and I saw him late, and I whispered to myself, too far. And he stuck his head out, stuck his wing, looked like he was getting ready to shag it, and I let freedom ring. And I think I just blew the lease up in his face because he kind of shook it off and, you know, walked out of my life, never to be seen again. You called at him, he gobbled, but he was not coming back.
No.
Walked out of my life.
Big old wise long beard.
Big old wise long beard.
Mm-hmm.
I just had a random fun fact pop in my head. I heard this on another podcast a couple of years ago. Do you boys know the difference between a creek and a crick?
No.
A crick has an old tire sitting in it.
I'm sure there's plenty in those. We saw plenty of tires along our trip. Oh man. You know what? I just want to give you props, Pork Chop. Like I think back of what I could have done differently and how much I could have tried to help you. And I wish I'd been on the same tree just to kind of tell you to just let the bird walk in, because there was a little play there between he and us that if he would have just kept coming down that ridge, I think he would have gone down low enough that you could have got your gun up and over. And he probably would have popped right up out at like 30, 35 yards, and you could have just splintered his face. But unfortunately, you know, you're a new turkey hunter. I mean, those are the kind of mistakes you have to just be in the woods, and something that has to happen for you to kind of just learn. I mean, there's no negative. You were all bummed out. You were apologizing to me. And I told you, I'm like, dude, that was freaking awesome. What do you mean? Like, why would you ever apologize to me? I had so much fun. I was trying to tell you, like, dude, the kill to me, that's the end. Like, that's the end of what I love to do. I love to talk to the birds, call them in, watch them react, see them come and play the game to my calling. When you shoot, the end result, kill or no kill, that's the end of my fun. You know, like, obviously, I would have loved to seen you just drop that bird. Like, I wanted nothing more on this trip than to get you that turkey. And, you know, realistically, I set the standards that we would get an opportunity as a group. I would be very happy. We got more than that. Adam killed two birds. I see Cody's on the line. We won't spoil that, but he did something too. And man, it was just a fantastic trip overall. I'm thinking you had quite a bit of fun.
Oh yeah, it was definitely an epic trip. And I went up there with really low expectations. You know, expectation management, somebody else in another group preaches to me, and I'm sure you'll hear it again here in a couple weeks, but expectation management. First time in West Virginia turkey hunting after being in Florida for at least 10 years on the flat ground. I was more happy to get up there and share camp with the other guys in the Patreon group. You know, Rick and Mikey and Cody, you, Austin. One of my best memories of the camp was Mom's gobbler cobbler and the trailer trash meal that she cooked. That was like top notch. You know, it was that's what I was going up there for. And more of the experience that now I know I can make it up and down those hills. So I'm going to work even harder, make it easier to walk up and down those hills. And I want redemption. So I'm definitely going to be back there next year.
Hell yeah.
Beautiful.
Love to hear it. Love to hear it.
Well, I'm going to pop these guys on there real quick so that they can say hi to you guys, and then we'll get some stories out of them.
Sounds good to me.
Yep, yep.
We've had Mikey and Cody in the queue for a little while now. Mike's a trooper. He's been on for 29 minutes. Adam, I know you're ready to get to bed too, so if you want to go at any time, man, you can drop off as well, but you can hang out as well.
Yeah, I'm going to probably head out here.
All right, buddy. Well, thank you for your time, and thank you for all the help with hunt with Porkchop and I doing all the scouting you did for the group and everything else. You're the man. You're an absolute beast.
Yep, thank you, guys.
We got everybody on here right now if anybody wants to say hi to each other real quick.
Not weird either.
What's up, buddy?
Oh, boy. Neighborhoods. There it goes.
There goes the neighborhood.
What's up, Cody?
I was just saying hi. Miss you, Porkchop. Can't wait for next.
Miss you too, buddy.
You guys have this weird bond going. I don't know if I like it or not.
Right. At first, I was like, dang, he's pretty annoying. But yeah, I grew to like him.
Cody, do you get that a lot?
Oh, I'm just a good guy.
Yeah, except for when you left all your booze in my cooler.
Hey.
Moonshine.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I got to try that moonshine still.
You can have all of it.
Well, I appreciate it, actually.
Yeah.
I will try the moonshine. I heard it's pretty good stuff.
It was kind of weird meeting Cody for the first time because on Polo, when he first came on, he had the whole mullet thing going on and a big old beard. I was like, oh, man, he's got to be pretty okay. Sounds like he knows what he's doing. He showed up at camp with a clean face and a clean haircut. I was like, dang, who's this feller?
It's my turkey hunting disguise. I won't know who I am.
That's right.
Put the finger paint beard on him next time.
Right.
All right, boys. Well, Adam Porkchop, thank you for kicking us off on this episode. We're going to get on with Mikey and Cody, and we're going to keep this ball rolling.
All right, fellas. Good talking to you.
Good talking to you, man.
Later.
Thanks, Adam. Thank you, Porkchop.
All right, later.
You guys are awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Return to Q.
Listener, and they're gone.
So now we got Mikey on the line, and we got Cody on the line. What's going on, boys?
Laundry.
I knew it was going to happen.
I knew it.
That awkward pause, and they both talk at the same time. You got to love it. Oh, shit. Yeah, sorry to keep you guys on hold. We had to get Porkchop's story out there. We technically didn't finish the last day of the whole hunt as well. We went back in on those birds for the third morning in a row, and they just pitched away from us and walked out of Porkchop's life for the third and final time. And that pretty much ended the trip. That was Sunday, and we went back and packed up and ended it. But, man, I guess to get back into the swing of the timeline, after Adam had killed, before anybody got there, Cody had killed opening day down there while we were down there as well. I was down there and some other buddies and whatnot. And then it would have been that first morning, right, Cody?
Yeah, it was the first morning. I was tagged out by 7 o'clock.
Yeah, crazy. I'd went and listened to that area the night before, and I was like, man, this is always a good spot. But I didn't hear shit. And other people had birds roosted. And I'm like, man, we're coming up with game plans, whatnot. And I was like, dude, whatever you want to do, you can go with this guy, you can go with that guy. And you were kind of like, hey, man, let me just go somewhere and listen, get some intel for guys. I was like, oh, that's actually a really good idea. Go here because this spot has always freaking been good. So I sent him off to that spot, and the fucker killed in like the first hour. Why don't you break down the hunt for us, buddy?
So I get up there, and the access was kind of sketchy, but it made do with what I had to do. I went in there. I was trying not to add a lot of lights. Took my red headlamp, going up through there. I had my camera gear. I was just going in there, self-film. I really didn't think I was going to see anything or hear anything. He said that I could go on the other side of Mikey and his dad. I really didn't want to intrude in case there was a gobbler there with them. I figured I'd just go to the spot that would be, probably least. I really didn't want to kill another one, you know what I'm saying? I was like, take me to the spot that I probably won't see anything. I can just listen. So I get up there, and I hear birds on the next gully to the next hillside over. They're hammering on the roost. And I was starting to head that way. I owl-hooted, and the bird lit up probably about 50 yards away. And it's getting pretty daylight now, and I can tell it's on the ground. So then at this point, I'm like, crap, scrambling. And where I'm at is thick as crap. It's on a side hill. I don't feel comfortable with even trying to get a shot in this stuff. So I just started calling and working away from the bird on top of a hill where there's a freshly cut field. Like, they cut it probably this year. And you can tell it probably isn't cut very much. It looks like just a whole bunch of old goldenrod field. So I went back up there. I was just calling back and forth on the top, and this bird's running in, screaming. So then I sit down, and I sit there quietly, and I film this all. So I get up real quick, just pinpoint where he's at, and he's probably like only 80, 90 yards away from me. I'm like, holy crap, he's coming. So then now I'm scrambling to get my camera ready. Everything's getting ready. I'm there self-filming. Next thing I look up, and I see a bird. Oh, it sounded like a gobbler. So I'm all jacked up. Get on it. Puts on a freaking show for me. I still can't tell if it's a gobbler or a Jake. Pulls the fan up. It's that Jake, but I was so jacked up at the moment, I really didn't care if it came in and put on a good show like it did. I was shooting it. So it was taking forever to work in. It was probably about 50 or 60 when I saw it. Did some soft calling. It was hammering. It came in probably about 35, 40 yards. I was using a 20 gauge, and I left it coming in even closer than that. It was probably about 25, 30 whenever I shot, decided to shoot. I started getting a little skittish. I could just tell him, you can tell where I was calling from and knew something was up. As soon as it gave me a good opportunity, it picked its head up a little bit. I squeezed the trigger, shot, and it just stepped back and didn't even flop around really that much at all. And that was basically it. It was a short, sweet, luck of the draw hunt. And I'm not going to take it for granted. It was awesome. And I appreciate you guys just having me down there and just the whole entire atmosphere, man. It was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. We had two camp cooks after day one.
Yeah.
Even though I did all the cooking. What the hell?
Hey, you just took charge on that one, kid.
I had a lot of fun doing it, too. I ain't gonna lie. No, Cody cooked. Cody did cook. He cooked us up some really good backstrap. And the same night I did the turkey meat, yep. Man.
Yeah.
And then Mikey, it was your idea to throw the turkey meat and the deer meat all on the same taco. And boy, let me tell you, I was addicted. I think I ate like three of those.
Yeah, you even did it the next night when we reheated it.
Yeah, you did.
I get yelled for that shit all the time at home. Sierra and Mia look at me like I'm crazy when we make dinner. I just throw everything in the same pile. And typically, it's pretty good. But when it comes to deer and turkey, I mean, what the heck?
Yeah. I didn't think it would be bad by any means. And it was absolutely delicious.
Mikey, what are you getting yelled at for? Are you throwing like lasagna and hot dogs in the same burrito? Or what do we got going on here?
Nah. I mean, like, Mia's like real picky when it comes to food, man. Like, her things can't touch. And Sierra's from that same cloth. But like, if we do like, I mean, just throwing out a stupid random example, but like rice, chicken, and broccoli, like I'll throw it all in the same pile, mix it all together, a little bit of yum yum sauce or something on top, and I'll just eat it all together. But like, they got to keep everything separate kind of thing. But yeah,
that sounds tremendous right now.
I think my my favorite meal back in college, they used to do like a popcorn chicken with mashed potatoes and corn, and they throw it all in like a big bowl.
Yeah, it's like a KFC bowl, dude.
Basically a KFC bowl before the KFC bowls were cool. Oh, good Lord. I love that. When growing up, we did that all the time with steak, too.
Oh, like
steak or chicken. Yeah. We threw all it all together. I don't know. I've always been that way, but Mikey, I'm in your boat. Like, my wife can't have her food touching. She's got to eat one at a time, like, finish this, then eat this. Give me a bite of this. Give me a bite of that.
Nah.
I'm still chewing that. Let me get a bite of this.
The same bite. Yeah, man.
Heck yeah. Well, we had a heck of a camp regardless. The food was good. The people were good. Obviously, we killed some shit. You know, Adam got two. Cody got two. But we got to, and I'm mentioning all the other things besides hunting, because we're going to talk about Mike's hunt a little bit here. And I feel like my priority coming into this thing was basically like, step one, get Porkchop his first bird. Step two, get Mikey and his dad on birds. And because Cody had already killed opening day, I knew Adam was going to be fine on his own. And I thought Adam and Austin were going to hunt together. Well, then Adam tags out and I'm like, all right, my priorities remain the same. And boy, did I drop the ball on number two or something. You guys must have seen all the black cats that I did on the way in, because it was just an unfortunate couple of days for you, man.
That was rough. to put it mildly, West Virginia kicked the phone boy's ass. And it wasn't for a lack of effort. We hunted hard, man. I mean, I'm still trying to recover, if I'm being honest. I think Dad is too. He went back to nights of all things this week. He started last night. But yeah, I mean, I don't remember any black cats running in front of us on our way down there, but we were about ready to try anything, sacrificing live chickens, doing turkey dances by the fire. I mean, it was a rough trip, man. Kind of made us feel like we didn't know what the hell we were doing at times. But
I think
turkey hunting.
I think West Virginia is good for that too, man. It really is.
And I mean, don't get me wrong. Like you said, camp was great. Company was great. Food was great. Turkey hunting was great for some of us. Some of us made it look really easy. but I mean, that's turkey hunting, man. I mean, in all honesty, I mean, one day, like Austin told me, I got the chance to run around those West Virginia hills with Austin on Sunday, had a great time. And, I think it was him that said, you know, some days you're up in here and they make you wonder if you even know what you're doing. And then other days they make you feel like a world champion turkey caller. So I mean, that's just that's turkey hunting in a nutshell. I mean, doesn't matter where you are, in my opinion. But that was, you know, I don't have any long, lengthy stories to tell like the rest of these guys. But we struggled, to put it mildly. I mean, we hunted Friday, Saturday, Sunday down there with you guys. Saturday, we did not see or hear a single turkey all day. Mm. We had it rough. You know, Friday we heard birds right off the roost, nothing close. We were set up 30 yards from a hen in the tree that we spotted walking in. And Saturday was rough. And then we got together with Austin and at least got to hear some gobbles Saturday night and Sunday morning. But it was pretty short-lived Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Sunday morning when we I should back it up a little bit. Saturday night when we went and roosted birds, we heard those. We were having a good old time. We were just bebopping through a couple places, checking some spots out. And then we just went and sat down in this spot that I hunted Saturday morning with Cody and Joe. And I figured those birds weren't going to run anywhere, and they did. They stayed right there. We heard them fly up, and then like a symphony, that's what I'm going to call it, of owls just started going bananas, dude. There must have been five or six of them going back and forth, and those birds gobbled twice. We were like, let's get the hell out of here. And then Sunday morning when we got in there, we got in pretty tight, but we got in super duper clean. We went crazy early, got set up, got everything just set up freaking perfect, man. And a pheasant, of all things, got those freaking gobblers going, and they were firing off in them.
Yeah. Anybody fall asleep on the tree that morning?
I closed my eyes for a second. I woke up totally panicked. And I think Mikey was saying at one point, he thinks it was me. I don't know if it was me or Rick. It was probably me, but I coughed and just absolutely, he came out of his skin.
Oh, dude, I about come out of my skin. And I mean, mind you, at this point, I mean, we're two full days in and a third very early wake up into this trip. My phone told me we did just shy of 18 miles over the 3 days. So, I mean,
oof.
We were putting in some work, man. We covered some ground down there. So yeah, there were some heavy eyeballs that morning. I wouldn't be surprised if dad dozed off against the tree that morning too, but we were in tight, man. They hammered early, and they hit the ground really early.
Yeah, I think they were on the ground at like 6:05 or something, weren't they?
Damn, that is early.
Yeah, it was like, it was very, very early. They gobbled one time, and that was it. I don't know if there was a guy that come in and had a ground blind set up above us, right on the edge of public, and I don't know if he bumped them coming in or what happened, but literally they gobbled one time once they hit the ground and not another sound.
There's a good chance they probably seen him.
Yeah. That ground blind was there the day before. Me and Cody and Joe saw it, but when we got up to the top just to see if we could strike him again, the guy had decoys and all mm-hmm. kinds of stuff out.
Yeah, but they might have seen him walking in.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Because they hit the ground so early, if that guy was running late or anything,
right,
as soon as they hit that field, they...
Yep.
So
what a shame. Cody, you got to hunt with the legend himself, Austin Schweitzer, here.
I thought you were talking about Joe.
Oh, is that what you thought? No.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, that's who I was talking about. Sorry.
Cody called for me all morning, man.
Yeah. Austin said it was different having two callers for him. He was basically like on a paid guided hunt at this point.
I've never had anybody call for me ever.
Yeah. Even when we hunted together, I've always let you hunt. Yeah. I'd let you call. We would back and forth, but I'd let you call. Yeah.
But I think I put the call in my mouth twice, and both of them called for me all morning. It was amazing.
Yeah. How was it, Cody? I wasn't hunting with the legend.
I'm going to go on to you, man. At one point, I thought we were going to kill.
Yeah.
And then, like, it was just, Joe's a heck of a turkey hunter. And you could just tell by just being with him. I learned some stuff from him, and he learned some stuff from me, I think. And it was just cool to be with someone like him. And Austin, he taught me some stuff, too, about West Virginia. And just being with different people was nice. Being alone by yourself and killing's not as fun as just being with other people. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. Where I get turkey hunting, I really don't care to go by myself and kill a bird. I'd rather have somebody with me just to enjoy the moment with somebody else. It's not fun just going out by yourself. I'm not gonna lie to you. Now, going wrong, self-filming was a totally different thing for me personally, but I honestly, for the whole entire trip, me going with those guys on that Saturday morning was awesome. I'm not gonna lie to you. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
And like, we were working those birds all morning long, and that one was in the, if you would think a turkey would be in there, you'd probably lose a bet if you bet on it, because I would have never thought there would be a turkey in that stuff. That's the way I think of it. It's just a honeysuckle patch so thick you can't even walk through, and I have gobblers in their hammer the whole entire morning, and I could not believe it.
Oh, dude, I think it's like you got like 3 feet you can see into it.
Mm.
It's just so unbelievably thick, but that bird was in the middle of it, man.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. That's just
part
of that early green up, too, that we've been experiencing up here.
I want to say that was the same spot. I mean, we stayed on the outside of it, right, Austin?
Yeah, we stayed on the outside. There was no going in that, man.
Yeah. Well, hey, I mean, I was a dedicated hunter. Everybody rolled out on Sunday, and I went back up in there. I went and did some digging, and I come out of there feeling really, really good for a return trip down there. I think I found the X for that spot, and I think I found the way in.
Oh shit! Good for you, man.
I talked to you, and I talked to Austin. I talked to Austin a lot after we all left Sunday, only because he was the one that took me up in there and put me on turkeys at the very least. And we talked about it all morning. Like, you need to be up there with them, and you need to attack those turkeys from a different direction, because the way we hunted them, in my opinion, and at least from what Austin, and I talked about, that's the way everybody attacks those turkeys. And I don't know that you can kill one that way. I really don't. But I found a different way in. And when you get in there, man, it is just, I mean, it is about as pretty of a setup as you can get. And it's only about 60 yards around, basically, right on the point of a ridge, which was right where those turkeys were at that morning. One of those ones that you could probably just, like, you and pork chop hunt it all week. You know, you go in there, you get right freaking under them super early. They hit the ground, and it's going to be a bang type thing. You may not even have to make a sound.
Yeah.
It's an open point, and it's literally like 60 yards around, and there's a perfect setup. I mean, as soon as you crest the top of the hill, there's massive trees right there that you can get against, and the opening's right in front of you. So literally you're sitting right on the edge with this big round top opening right in front of you that is just tore up with turkey scratching.
Sounds glorious.
Yeah. Yeah, he was sending me Snapchats the whole time he was walking it, and I was just like, oh, yeah, we were just off of the X.
That's what you got to do to get Snapchats on. You put them in 2 gar hole spots the days before, and you just don't get, you're not on that list anymore for communication. Is that what happens here, Mike?
Maybe.
It's fine.
No, you had your hands full. You were getting pork chop to the...
It's fine. I'm fine. Everything's
airport,
fine.
Obviously, I mean, nah. We're already talking about making a trip down there. I wasn't going to keep it from you. I mean, hey, we can go up in there and double. We still got tags in our pockets. So
yeah, I'm
there
actually,
multiple birds up in there hammering their heads off.
Yeah, you mentioned it. I'm planning on going in the morning and trying to get back under those birds where Pork Chop and I were. I think I did the same thing as you did that last day we hunted there. I found new access in, new place to set up, basically a new ambush spot. And I'm just going to do like a quick off the roost, hope they're still roosting down in that bottom kind of hunt and see how it goes. But yeah, we'll definitely be in West Virginia together. I just realized, like, I didn't get to hunt with you. I didn't really hunt with Cody at all. I didn't get to kind of move around at all. I really was committed to being Pork Chop's kind of private guide there. And what?
I think you forgot somebody that you didn't hunt with.
I was right there with
you. I didn't get to hunt with Austin. I've hunted with you before, you jerk. I never hunted with any of these guys.
I was
yet.
Right there with you, though, man. I really wanted to see Pork Chop get a bird.
I did too. Bad.
Yeah.
I honestly wanted to see him shoot a turkey more than I wanted to see myself shoot one. That was such a cool experience, man. And just getting to, I felt like I really knew all these guys already.
Mm-hmm.
Adam, Pork Chop, Cody. I mean, everyone really. It was funny. I mean, you don't miss a beat when you actually meet these people in person. And, I heard you guys kind of joking like, oh, this could be Florida's biggest serial killer or whatever. But like, I mean, really, it was like we knew each other forever. I mean, we all have such common ground. I mean, we talk every day, all day. We didn't miss a beat. But I really did want to see, him, fill his first turkey tag, really.
Yeah, no doubt.
And just to be in camp with him, I thought it would have been an awesome, awesome experience. And, I mean, I put some extra work in afterwards. I lost a shell up in there somehow. I don't remember my gun coming open. Yeah, it's probably in our setup, honestly, somewhere. I could probably go back in there and find it. And the plan was to go do that anyway, but then I got up in there and saw what I saw, and I was like, dude, I'm not even walking over there. I found what I needed to find. I don't give a shit about that shell.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny about that, Mike? Oh, I pushed the wrong button.
Didn't you say you lost one the day before?
I lost one the same day as you, and I think I know how I lost it. I undid one pocket when I was setting up the decoys and everything else, and I'm missing a 3.5-inch Longbeard XR if you end up going up there.
Damn.
Yeah, hey, I'm missing a 3-inch myself, so I'm really thinking about going, making a trip down Friday morning. Friday morning weather-wise looks amazing.
I might have to go up tomorrow morning just to collect a couple shells and sell them on eBay.
It's a 20 gauge and a 12 gauge, so you got a couple variations.
I'm in, my dude. I got both of those guns.
Yep. Yeah. Probably easy, but
$20.
$20.
I'll probably make. If you don't, I'll probably make my way over there when I make it back down. But
I'm not gonna make it over there tomorrow. I'm just kidding.
I don't remember my gun coming open. I don't think anybody, Dad or Austin for that matter, remembers my gun coming open, but it had to come out of my gun, because when I unloaded at the end of the day, I only had two shells, and I carry five shells on my gun. Like, I carry one of them sleeves that hold five shells.
Yeah.
And I know I put three in it that morning, so.
It was either that or your follower kicked it out.
Did you say I don't.
Yeah, but I mean, I looked around the truck where I load the gun. I don't.
Your shell follower, when you first loaded it in that second spot when we were walking, your shell follower could have kicked it out if it didn't catch all the way.
Oh, yeah, you didn't push it all the way in, maybe.
That's possible.
Potentially. I thought you said his father. I'm like, you tell me Big Rick sabotaged him? That's what I thought you said. Like, no. Your father could have kicked it out. I'm like, why are you bringing Big Rick into this, man? Like, he would not have sabotaged
his son. You call him Big Rick. Yeah, I call him Papa Rick.
Do you? Papa, I like Papa Rick better, I think.
He was pretty bummed when I told him about this tonight. He likes getting with you guys.
We'll get him on.
I'll speak for him, but he had just as much fun as I did, even though we got our butts kicked. It really was an awesome trip. I mean, it was something I'm definitely looking forward to, and hopefully we get to do that for many, many years to come. So
I think my favorite part about your dad, he is so quiet most of the time, but when he opens his mouth, it's hilarious.
Dude, it's always like freaking a zinger.
Yep.
Just like pure comedy. Like, I love it.
Everybody's sarcasm. Cutting up, and he's just sitting there straight face, just listening to everybody.
Or like just his pure honesty too. Oh, yeah. Times. Like, I'm going around the room, we're talking about what do we want for dinner, right? Like, oh, you guys like pork, you like pierogies? I get around and I'm looking, and I can tell on his face something's wrong. And I'm like, what's wrong, Big Rick? You don't like pierogies? Nope. I'm like, oh shit. We just committed to pierogies.
Well,
I'm sorry.
I mean, you got to remember what he's going through right now.
Oh, yeah. No, I totally get it.
He's on a carnivore diet. So.
Yeah, it made sense afterwards, but we still.
It's serving him well, but yeah.
Yeah. We still filled his belly.
He still ate good. We all ate good.
We did.
Yeah, for sure.
Cody, your total experience of West Virginia was obviously really good. I mean, you basically hunted 2 days and killed two birds, man. Very impressive. I just want to get like your full take on the state. I don't know if this where this plays in like your out of state hunts that you've done in your life or what, but how does West Virginia rank on your list?
Honestly, I'm gonna be very disappointed in this comment, but it's honestly tough.
Yeah,
and it doesn't seem like me, but it was tough. So the first day, the Wild West, like we were talking about earlier. I'm just thankful I didn't get shot. That's all I'm thankful for. Honestly, that's how bad the first day was. It got to the point where we got there super early, and you're like, man, you don't have to get there that early. I was like, I just want to get there early so I know where everybody's at and what's going on, because I really don't want to get shot. Because I've been to West Virginia before. Last year I was. And I pulled a mic. I'm not going to lie to you. Last year I did 24 miles in 2 days, and I saw 10 bears, and I had one bird coming in, and somebody legit scared it when I was coming out like 100 yards away from me. Some guy came in there and just spooked the bird completely. So I know how Mike's feeling, and I also know the feeling of where I'm at right now, where I feel like I'm a turkey god like Austin and we're talking about earlier. But I know I'm not a turkey god, because they will humble you faster than what you think. So there's the way I look at it for West Virginia. My first day, like I was saying, I had a rock, paper, scissors shoot. I shouldn't even had to, but I just did it for the well-being, because the guy's a local. I felt bad because, like, he put in the time in. I legit just went there because you sent me there. I was like, you know what? I'll give this guy a fighting chance. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. And he puts me in the guard hole. I knew he did, but I really didn't care. I was just there to have a good time. I didn't really care, man. I was just there to have a good time.
Not me, just to clarify, by the way. I did not send him to the guard hole. I sent him to a really good turkey spot. He played rock, paper, scissors, and then one rock, paper, scissors, and the kids were like, oh yeah, go back there. It's way better than up here. And they kind of guard-holed you. I think they just sent you away from the spot where they knew there were birds.
Yeah, and I'm not, nothing against the kids, but they'd kill and they didn't, so.
I can't believe you played rock, paper, scissors with somebody in the parking lot.
I would never do that.
For a spot. I cannot believe that.
Here's the way it was. I felt bad because, I'm not gonna lie to you, they were there, like, birds this whole entire time, you know what I'm saying? And I was not going to be, like, fighting a guy over a spot. I really didn't want to care really that much, you know what I'm saying? I was just happy to be out. I had the excitement of just being there the first day.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the opening day for PA. I really did not care at all. So I won, and I thought in my eyes, I was like, these guys are all going to push these birds out because there's three other guys ahead of those guys, and I was the furthest back. So I was either going down in with all the other guys or I was going away from everybody. And I was like, I'm going to get shot. So I go away from the guys, and everybody and their brother comes back to me. So I was like, this is awful. And everything was dead. I only heard two gobbles, and it was across the road on a different piece. So then sat there, didn't hear birds till legit 9:30, and then they fired up, and then I missed them. And then I called him back in, and I shot one. So, like, that was my West Virginia trip, man. I had the highs, lows, and like we said, West Virginia is a good state, but it can also make you contemplate going back. So I'll just say that.
Yeah. I started doing a little research on the numbers and whatnot, and I think we might have a new spot for next year. I got to look into some places, but there are some other areas where a lot more turkeys are harvested consistently over the last 5 years. It's a little bit longer drive, but I think if we do it, it might be a little bit worse terrain, but I think we could have better opportunity maybe across the board, at least everybody kind of getting opportunities. But that's something we'll talk about for next spring for sure. We'll definitely do this again. Thank you both for joining us tonight. I'm glad you both had a great trip with us and a great hunt camp. It's what it's all about, man. At least from my perspective, that's what it was all about, making sure that everybody kind of had a good hunt. So I broke my heart that the Fennel boys were kind of having a tough go at it because, man, that place can either eat you alive or it'll just spit out gold. It's one or the other, and there's not much in between. And, you know, at the end of it all, it's I think you'll get redemption, Mikey, because I know you'll keep putting in the work, and maybe we'll get back out there Friday morning and try to get after them. Any clues?
Yeah, man, we could have easily, and I mean easily, tucked our tails and said, hey, like, that place down there is, it, as I saw, it can be an amazing place to hunt. I mean, we killed four birds, two guys tagged out, mm-hmm. you know, and in really, in 2 days.
Yeah.
I mean, like that, it was a pretty apparent that place, and it was beautiful down there. Yeah, it's rough terrain, but That place down there is not for, that's not something you can take lightly down there, because it is tough hunting, and it would have been really easy to tuck our tails and give up basically.
Yeah, you could have slept in any morning. You didn't have to wake up at 3:30 in the morning and keep grinding, but you boys did, and it almost happened for you on the last day, last minute Hail Mary. That would have been great, man. I would have loved to seen you or your dad get on one for sure.
We're definitely going to make, at least I am. It's tough to line up our schedules for dad and I, but I'm going to at least make at least one, if not a couple more trips down there, depending on how our season goes up here.
For sure.
We'll go down on a Sunday, Mike.
Twice before it opens.
Yep.
Hey, like I said, man, before we left, you say when, and I'm your Huckleberry, man.
Yeah, man.
I'm down for anything, anytime. That's just how we're wired. So
let me know about Sunday. I'd go down to school. I'd tag along.
Heck yeah, dude. Heck yeah.
Yeah.
We know that much. You just love being, you've been out every morning listening, watching birds. Like, just you guys both are completely committed to it. And I love it. You're my kind of peoples for sure. But we'll wrap this thing up. We're at about an hour and a half right now. I really do appreciate you guys. Any closing thoughts from the two of you?
When we doing it again?
Uh-huh.
I mean, good luck, obviously, up here. Thanks again. I know I've said it a million times. I think we all have, but thanks again for having us. First time I've ever been out of state. First time I've really ever had to, like, quote unquote, share a camp with anybody other than my dad. It was a great trip. I mean, obviously, like we've talked about, hunting was tough, but I don't shy away from that. And I'm definitely looking forward to doing it again.
There's talks of maybe a deer hunt.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Maybe.
Cool.
Maybe.
You guys will obviously hear about it on the Patreon, you know, the old Marco Polo. And if anybody listening wants to get in on that, they're going to have to join the old Patreon and listen on to Marco Polo.
Yeah.
Put in their 2 cents.
Yep. Cody, any closing thoughts, my buddy?
Yeah, if you're going to, honestly, if you're really interested about doing the Marco Polo, I would 100% agree doing it. The only reason why I joined was I heard on the podcast, but I really didn't put two and two together. And I looked into it more, and then I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to join and see what it's all about. And I'm not going to lie to you. I love it. I fell in love with the Marco Polo and everything that you guys do. And it's like a third family, I'd say. I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like,
I agree.
Sorry, group. It doesn't even matter where you're at. We're all over the country. It's awesome. If anybody's really interested about doing it, you should do it, because I learn a lot just listening to other people, and I like helping out other people too. So like, it's very helpful if you're getting into hunting, or if you have any questions, anybody in the group's going to help you out or anything like that. And thanks Boston, Charles, and everybody else for a great camp. And we all wanted Porkchop to harvest, obviously. We all wanted him to be successful, but like I'm going to say right now, we wouldn't hunt if we killed every single time, because it wouldn't be fun. So you got to fail to, I think personally, you got to fail, or hunting would not be fun if you just killed every single time you went out. I'm not gonna lie to you. So that's my closing thoughts.
Totally agree with you. And I want to thank both of you. I want to thank Adam, Porkchop, Big Rick, everybody that came out and made this camp what it was this year. You know, we were it's basically just Austin, myself, and Adam the last couple of years, just not even really like a podcast thing.
We called it a podcast thing, but we were just going down and turkey hunting, man.
It was it, man. We were just having fun, you know. And I think this thing could become something bigger and better, and I that's because of you guys. Just so you all know, like, everything that we can do is in our appreciation for you guys. So thank you all. Thank you, Graybeard, for trying to send down the gator meat that didn't make it, but I am enjoying the beef jerky that, oh, sorry, guys, didn't make it to camp. My bad.
No, I'm having that.
I know, right?
I'm enjoying that.
He didn't
one.
Bring it over for this podcast either.
I thought about it for a second. I'm enjoying that one on my own, though, just so you know.
It's okay.
But, you know, thank you all for...
He messed that Austin. He's like...
Come on, man.
Hold on.
Come on. Yeah, give it to me.
I got you, buddy.
Come on. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Oh shit. All right, boys, we're gonna end it there. I wanna again thank y'all for joining us tonight and for making that trip possible.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you guys coming down and supporting us and everything you guys do. So it's been good.
You gonna end it?
I'm gonna let them end it.
You guys wanna end it?
The distraction is real.
Atta boy.
I like it.